fishing boat is much more than a means to make a living for a fisherman, just like tools for any tradesperson. A fisherman's boat is a symbol of identity. It speaks to who that person is and what is vitally important to that person. And in today's dramatic gospel story, Jesus helps himself right into a fisherman's boat, Simon, without having been invited, without any kind of preparation, without any permission granted from the captain. Jesus simply boards the boat. And in doing so, what does Jesus do? He places himself in the heart of Simon's life, at the core of his identity. And if that weren't enough, Jesus begins to give orders on the boat belonging to Simon. First to put out from the shore, and then later to put out into deeper water. Now don't miss what is happening and what God is trying to reveal. God's presence and God's power, what we popularly call grace, which is not a thing, it's an encounter. It meets us where we are. It afflicts our comfort. It shakes us up. It confronts us. It seeks to move us and to change us, because it and it alone completes us. The single most important question that we will ever answer, whether we're on land or on sea, is this: how will I respond to Jesus once he enters my boat? When Jesus reveals himself, will I respond obediently and cheerfully or not? Everything else in our life is secondary. Everything else in our life finds meaning from how we answer that question. Simon makes the all-important response to receive the Lord, to cooperate with God and his presence and his power. This presence and power that maybe even feels a little bit like an imposition. I mean, you got onto my boat without even asking. But he cooperates with it. He receives it. This power that breaks in to where he is, right in the heart of his core, where he's identified. Listen carefully to Simon. Simon said in reply, Luke chapter 5, verse 5, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing." You know, in other words, I know a little bit of how this fishing works. I'm pretty good at it. And I know this body of water. But if you say so, I will put out my nets. That's all it takes. And with that, this transformation of Simon into an intentional disciple, it begins. It's underway. Encountering the risen Lord Jesus. Friends, that's the first step. Simon had been operating, as it were, in the shallows, as it were, hugging the shore, living superficially, following his own intuitions, his own ambitions, his own thinking. But when the risen Lord Jesus gets into your boat, and he will, he will always lead us into deeper water, always. Less self, more him. Not sometimes, not most of the time, always. Uncomfortable? Oh yeah. Little scary? You bet. Dangerous? Yeah, it involves consequences. Will it be more exciting? Yes. More meaningful?
more fulfilling in daily living? Oh, yes. Now, mind you, the depths that we're discussing here are spiritual depths. The excitement about which grace offers is not sensations from a worldly point of view. It's the excitement and the meaning and the fulfillment that God offers us to be transformed spiritually from the inside out. We don't have to fake and pretend. It's authentic and real. He changes us at our core. I can't help but to recall Therese and her spiritual memoir entitled Story of a Soul. It's how we came to know her, only after her death. Now, here is someone from a worldly point of view, right? From a worldly point of view, who has the least exciting, least meaningful, and most unlikely fulfilling life from a worldly point of view, right? Here she is with a couple of dozen other women living together behind the walls of a monastery in northwestern France. The world bellows, boring, silly, stupid. That's what the world says. Wasteful. And yet, Therese, whom we affectionately call the little flower by her nickname, she allows Jesus into her boat. She welcomes Jesus into her life. She dares to receive the presence and the power of the risen Lord where she is. It breaks into her mind and into her heart. And the result, an immensely exciting and meaningful and fulfilling transformation that flows over and has touched millions of people, including every one of us right here, whether we realize it or not. Her name and legacy marks this community of faith. From a couple dozen women holed up behind monastery walls in northwestern France, seemingly anonymous. This is what Jesus wants to do to you. This is what Jesus wants to do to your family and your friends. This is precisely what Jesus wants to do to our parish.